All right, this is Pure Decking Show 50 for December the 20th, 2011. And if you're wondering why I gave the actual year, it's because it's the last one we're doing this year. So, let's see here. This is the show about stuff that interests me. I'm Morps, and today we have Analog, Suave, and Heavy Metal. And Syntax may show up later. So, hi guys.
How's it going?
Hey, how's it going?
So, just as a... Again, just as the only programming notes we really have, this is the last show of Pure Decking for 2011, and I kind of think it's cool we hit a nice round number of 50 for the last show of the year, and mm-hmm. we're going to take most of January off from the show, be back late January, early February, and somewhere in there. I haven't actually picked which week. I just want to take a few weeks off. So,
okay,
just want to be lazy.
Well, that, obviously. if that wasn't obvious by now. Now, I've got some other projects I'm wanting to try to get going. And, first of the year is always real hectic where I am, so where I work. So it'd just be easier.
Yep. I've been there. I have sympathy. So, that's cool.
So moving on to current events, we got some fun ones. The big one would be SOPA. The article I'm using is from PC Mag, but this is all over the place. Earlier in the week, or last week actually, they said that SOPA had been tabled for the year so that the Congress could go home. But that's not actually true. The reading from PC Mag here, the House Judiciary Committee might consider the controversial Stop Online Piracy Act this year after all. A committee spokeswoman said today that if the House is in session on Wednesday, SOPA will be on the agenda. The Senate, meanwhile, is preparing to take on SOPA-esque Protect IP in late January. So it probably won't get to the president's desk, but they still might pass it. This is exactly what they did for our healthcare law. Like it or hate it, they passed it on Christmas Eve. So I think they're trying to do the same trick here, just pass it when nobody's looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I gotta say, that's a really underhanded method of getting anything passed.
I mean, yeah, whether you like the law or not, if this is what you have to resort to pass it.
It's so disrespectful to the voters. Like, it's just such a blatant attempt at, like, sneaking it in there.
Because I watched C-SPAN over the holiday break. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah.
Really.
This is pretty rough. I'd like to say when Vinton Cerf comes out and says, I'm one of the guys that actually created the internet, unlike that asshole Al Gore. And I'd like to say that, you're going to break it. Not just like, oh, this is illegal and this is against, people's rights and all this other crap. He's like, no, you're going to break it, guys.
I'm pretty sure every major technology company has come out against this thing. The only real major backers this thing has are IAA, MPAA, your other content companies, not even technology companies.
Right.
Yeah, and they've got more money. Although I would argue that Google pretty much has the president in their pocket as they're one of the big contributors to his campaign. So maybe they're just counting on him bouncing it once it gets to the desk.
Well, as much noise as this thing generated, you'd think they would. But, geez, you never know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's why they call it the Stop Online Piracy Act, not the We Want to Copy the Firewall of China Act.
Yeah.
Because that's when they flat out said, yeah, we're using China's internet filtering techniques as our template. It's like, what are you doing, guys?
Yeah.
I understand why you're trying to pass all the gun control laws, because I think we're going to use them if you keep this shit up.
Well, and then here's the funny thing, because, this part here has never happened in the United States. Somebody spent, billions of dollars on copy protection and it's lasted forever, right? Survived for the test of time and right, guys? All this copy protection stuff works the first time out of the box. Never been cracked, never been circumvented.
Yeah, wait till we hit the Digital Dojo. Don't worry. We've already got that covered.
And that's the exact point, is it takes about a week, usually, at the most.
A week? I've got a Firefox plugin that came out yesterday in Digital Dojo. We'll get to that here in a minute.
All right.
So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, moving right along. not rocket snailing, just moving right along. Let's see. This one's off Gizmodo, which means it's written horribly. The same RIAA that makes examples out of ordinary folk by suing them for millions of dollars for file sharing turns out they've been pirating full seasons of Dexter, $9 million worth. The number, 150,000 for each of the 60 episodes illegally downloaded on the RIAA headquarters ISP, comes compliments of You Have Downloaded, which logged, this is the site we talked about last week, this You Have Downloaded, which logged the BitTorrent activity of some 50 million users and revealed that not only are the major movie studios pirating their own movies, but the RIAA is downloading pirated TV shows. Lots of them. So, yeah, this is the same RIAA that has been shaking down a Minnesota mother of four for 1.5 million over 24 songs she shared on Kazaa. Now, admittedly, I got it off Gizmodo. I just read it off Gizmodo. I hate the way a lot of these blogs write up their stories, but the data here is good. This is that You Have Downloaded site we highlighted last week. They caught somebody on the RIAA headquarters and the MPAA headquarters downloading lots of crap.
Mm-hmm.
Oops.
Yeah, pretty much.
Dun, dun, dun,
but, you know, to play devil's advocate or whatever here, it wasn't the RIAA that did this. It was some dumbass employee
at
the office.
It's like, oh, they've got a big fat pipe.
And, you know, like,
it's
not going to be the RIAA that's going to get in shit. Somebody's going to lose his job and probably get made an example of.
I want somebody to sue the RIAA specifically and use the IP address as a location-specific data that ties them to it
responsible. And what I want to know is, did they? Did anybody from the RIAA send the RIAA a takedown notice?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Because I get a lot of those that say they are from the RIAA.
Yeah.
So I just want to know who sent the takedown notice and will it be published online?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So this next one up is also fun, again, more file sharing news because, well, there's no more Pirate Party Radio, so I guess we're picking up all that crap. Let's see. This one's from the BBC. Gilberto Sanchez, 49, who has a previous conviction for a similar offense, pleaded guilty in March to uploading a copyrighted work being prepared for commercial release. Green screen and wire attached to actors were still visible in the copy. This is the Wolverine movie that was in 2009. Prosecutor said it has been downloaded hundreds of thousands of times. Sanchez admitted to uploading a work print copy and publicizing the upload on two websites. The judge also sentenced him to a year of supervised release and imposed a number of restrictions on his computer use. They put this guy in jail for a year. I didn't copy the right parts of the article, obviously. They put this guy in jail for a year for uploading a movie.
Yeah.
Well, essentially, it wasn't like he was a dude just, you know, sharing a movie
No,
around.
He was,
obviously on the inside, and he ripped it. So I can see that. I mean, that's just
no.
I would like to know, did he sell it or make money off of it?
No, he didn't. He threw it up on BitTorrent. This is a dude going to jail for a civil offense. This is copyright infringement and possibly some contractual. I don't know if the guy worked for them or how he got his copy on the work print to upload. But other than contractual violations and copyright, which are civil laws, they're putting
him in jail.
But this
is a plea agreement.
Jail.
We don't know what he was actually going to be charged with.
Well, that's
the
true.
Problem.
That's true.
You know?
And but, this actually, though, this may not be necessarily just a, you know, a pirated issue.
Yeah, there might be something
else going
on
here. If he actually worked for them, this could be a breach of contract, which, you know, in the contract it could state that, you know, you would be prosecuted, you know, with jail time. And so, I mean, it could be all part of, you know, if he was an inside man doing the job, I mean, I can understand, you know.
Well,
it's different if he goes to
trespass.
Jail because he uploads it, you know. But if he goes to jail because he actually it's a pre-release from within the company, that's different. I mean, that's distributing the actual company, you know, information at that point. So it's kind of a twist.
Yeah, I would agree with you guys, you know, on that part of it. I would agree with Morphs a little bit that it is a pretty decent sentence. But Buddy pleaded to it, so you wonder what else he was looking at.
That's a good point. You know, we don't have all the details here. I just it scares me because this could be case law of sending to somebody to jail for copyright infringement.
Oh, absolutely.
And with that kind of case law, when you go after people, when you know you send them the DMCA takedown notices, you know, they suddenly have that much more of a arm twisting they can use. Like, oh yeah, we sent this guy to jail for it. So, you know, you're going to give us that $15,000 or whatever it is they're asking for.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what they've done is they've taken what is a very small-time offense and used it as a way to basically extort money from people using the legal system. So,
it's true.
All right. Next story we have here is actually not a file-sharing story. This one's from The Register. London police are turning to Wi-Fi to beam alerts to revelers in the capital, warning them of the danger of rape while out partying and drinking over Christmas. Wi-Fi hotspots near popular clubs in the central parts of London, such as the Ministry of Sound, Proud Galleries, and the Trocadero, I don't know if I'm saying that right, Trocadero Center, are being targeted by Scotland Yard officers. Met issued alerts about the about Wi-Fi technology have been posted in various boroughs throughout the capital. They asked punters to twiddle their mobile's Wi-Fi or Bluetooth settings to receive alerts sent by the police. I wish this article went into better detail of what it is they're actually doing, because the article says they're using Wi-Fi and Bluetooth to send alerts about rape. And the message about rape they're sending is, it's a good message, nothing wrong there. I just... Really? You want to message everybody's phone to remind them over Wi-Fi? It makes me wonder, what are you doing? Are you putting up like a web page intercept? So you're sitting here trying to get, you know, your LOL cats or your fail videos on YouTube, and instead you get this message saying rape is bad? I mean, what's the... I really wish they had more detail here.
Oh, okay. So you're going to basically on purpose connect to Wi-Fi or Bluetooth in order to get messages from the cops.
Police. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's voluntary. I mean, it's opt-in, so.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot here to worry me. So I have to set up my mobile to connect to the police to get alerts. Well, okay, what other alerts are they going to send us? What are they going to do with this stuff after... You know, these Christmas rape warnings. I think we have some history of that. Of a lot of politicians were asking people for phone numbers for texting during the campaign, and now a lot of people are getting weird text messages saying, "Hey, send us more money." So there's not a lot of concern about that over the elections.
I have a very full spam box with a lot of stuff coming from the Obama administration because I signed up to one of their newsletters during the last campaign. So, Well, I signed up to both of them, but because McCain lost, I don't get anything from them. So, you know.
Fair enough.
So be careful what you sign up for.
I recommend getting junk email box accounts for that.
Yeah, well, that's why I've got it. I mean, what do you use Yahoo for other than to be a junk email account?
Yeah, that's true. So last thing we got here in current events, this is from TheVerge.com. Two major hard drive manufacturers, Seagate and Western Digital, are cutting their warranties to as little as a year. Starting on December 31st, Seagate will cut protection for most standard desktop and notebook drives from 5 years to one, and from other drives, including its hybrid... Momentus XT will get 3-year warranties instead of the 5-year ones. Meanwhile, Western Digital is reducing the warranties on 3 of its drives, the Kevlar Blue, Kevlar Green, and Scorpio Blue, from 3 years to 2 starting on January 2nd. None of these changes will affect the enterprise or the higher-end models or externals. Western Digital is... Yeah, basically, Western Digital is going to start charging for the extra warranty and... They're doing the same thing as everybody else. It's like, you know, oh, would you like the extended warranty for an extra $30? You know,
the flood strike again. I mean, basically, when you're making them in that volume that they were able to produce them, you can afford to just swap them out. But now that their capacity is way down, then yeah, they're not going to be able to give those kind of warranties for a while. Maybe in a year or two.
Well, the only thing that would worry me is if they're going to go to people who like bought a drive this week. And be like, no, you only get 1 year warranty, not five. Now, on new drives, they can pretty much do what they want on ones you haven't bought yet. But if they're messing with the warranty, and it doesn't say, and I don't think they're doing this. I think they're doing this on new sales. I think it would actually be illegal to go back and after the fact and reduce the warranty.
My guess is once capacity ramps back up and they start needing to compete on other, you know, price or other factors, they're going to start, you know, cranking the warranties back up on these things. So just, you know, wait a year.
No, I don't know about that. I think what they'll do is they'll start, they'll leave them where they are. And then if you want the warranty, you can pay the extra fee. Because once they start figuring out another way to get you to paying more, they're not going to get rid of that revenue stream.
Although SSDs are going to start competing on capacity pretty damn soon, so hopefully.
Well, that's true, and I hope they do. I'd love to get my hands on some decently priced SSDs. That's why I've been staying away from them, just because they don't have the space. But I got to play with some at work not too long ago. They are fast. Oh man, you wouldn't believe how quick some of these machines can come up when they've got SSDs in them.
It'd be really freaking cool for a broadcast box.
No, it'd be a waste on the broadcast box. What are you talking about? That thing caches everything to RAM anyways. But now, for a gaming box, on the other hand, you know, if you're loading your Half-Life from an SSD, that little loading screen you get just, you know, pops up and goes away. So
a lot of the game companies are starting to optimize for SSDs now, too, so that'll be nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's go ahead and move on to Digital Dojo, and we'd be remiss if we didn't play this.
Me love you long time.
Now that we've gotten our weekly dose of racism, does anybody else want to add some Digital Dojo sounds for us?
Yeah! Digital Dojo!
I'm not sure if Heavy was in a dojo or in the bathroom, but
yes, because the two should be combined.
What, don't you have a punching bag in your toilet? I mean...
Exactly.
Wow. All right. First thing up in our Digital Dojo, this one's fairly easy. Firefox 9 is out. That's actually today. Anything earth-shattering. It's faster. They claim they fixed a memory leak again.
Yay.
A few more features here and there. Now, the big thing for Firefox, and we alluded to it earlier, this would be the add-on for Firefox, DSOPA, as in, yes, the name of the add-on is DSOPA. Now, I've got a Torrent Freak article linked here as well, and I'm going to read from it a little bit. The pending Stop Online Privacy Act continues to inspire opponents to come up with creative solutions to circumvent it. When installed, users can click a single button to resolve a blocked domain via foreign DNS servers, bypassing all domestic DNS blockades and allowing the user to browse the site through the bare IP address if supported. So what this is this little add-on for Firefox that says, okay, well, U.S. law is going to screw up the DNS servers here, so this is just going to point it at an IP address as a DNS server that's not your ISPs and not in the states. So the simple DNS seizures that, we've seen and a lot of stuff they're going to start doing in SOPA, this is just going to end around that for now until they start making the ISPs get a little bit more aggressive with locking people down on what DNS they can use. So
yeah,
this is just the first of many ways around SOPA we're going to see. Even if the law doesn't pass, I think you're going to have a lot of people looking at this kind of crap because the law came up. So it's if they've tried to pass it once, you know how it is when they get their idea for a law, they keep coming back and coming back with different versions of it till they finally get the damn thing passed.
Yeah.
So, I think we're going to see a lot of little add-ons and stuff like this to get around some of this stuff.
Yeah, in this case, because they've been so persistent with it, we've actually gotten ahead of the game tech-wise and are able to bypass it before the law gets passed, which is kind of nice.
Well, Pirate Bay's had their solution for a while that, that VPN service, Predator?
Yeah.
That'll get around it too, because I think you come out of a couple of different countries they've got that thing ending out of now.
Exactly.
So, keeping on with the same style of thing, on the How To Geek, we've got a interesting article on how to optimize Google Chrome for maximum privacy. And it's a very long article, lots of screenshots, showing you exactly how to configure Chrome to quit sending all of your shit up to Google. And just reading from the tutorial here a little bit, Google Chrome sends personal data to Google by default, but it doesn't have to. They'll show you how to... they'll show you what information each feature sends to Google and why, so you can get the goodness on the Chrome browser without sacrificing privacy. Each option comes with an advantage, so you start losing features by turning on these privacy options. But they actually do a pretty good job. I skimmed through the tutorial. They do a good job of explaining what these features are doing and how to set it up so that you're not sending all of your data up to Google. If this is something you care about.
I like it. Definitely worth making the effort to go ahead and do the privacy bit.
If you use Chrome, the other option is just use Firefox and go nuts with its privacy plugins, because there's plenty out there.
Oh yeah.
So.
That's why everybody likes Firefox so much. To me, it's just because you can customize it like that. And at this point, it's not really something that you might want to consider doing. It's really something that you really should get done.
Yeah, you almost have to do it.
Yeah. Like, it's something that is almost a requirement this day and age.
Exactly.
Up next, we've got the final thing. This is from a blog I've been following here lately, from opensecurityresearch.com. Mm-hmm. And this link goes to a nice long tutorial on how to reverse engineer binaries on Windows. And it's specifically targeted from reverse engineering malware. And they even have a nice little kit you can download, so you don't have to go out and find your own malware to reverse. They've got some for you that you don't have to worry about, infecting your machine with. But just a little blurb here. Even though reverse engineering of malware is considered an art only performed by people with deep knowledge of assembly language, this is simply not true. Sure, an analysis of complex malware binaries requires advanced skills. However, in this case, anyone with basic scripting skills and a little tenacity can reverse engineer this script. And then they've got the example on the blog and walk you through how to break it down, this malware, so you can see exactly what it's doing, where it came from, and a bunch of other nice little oddities about reversing malware.
Which, are you actually broadcasting?
Should be.
All right. I'm going to go to the page right now.
Why are we not?
I guess.
Mike's
sent the link
on. What the hell? We're recording. We're not. Well, this is going to be in the recording. What the hell is going on? Why am I not? No, you're right. It says we're not broadcasting.
Oh, mm-hmm. Shit.
Fuck. Last show of the year, and we screw it up. That's. Come on, Sam. What the hell?
Hold on. I got
to
get my.
It's reverted to the other. I got it fixed.
Yeah, okay. We should be live now.
It reverted to using virtual audio cable 3 instead of 1 because, during one of our use shows, somebody decided to change the settings around. Just as a programming note, the broadcast box took a big shit yesterday or sometime Sunday evening, and I don't know why. the logs cut off way before it actually went down. So I don't know what happened. I don't know why, but I know the I was worried about Sam. Sam had a hard time coming back up, and I was wondering if its database got a little bit corrupted. So
that's unfortunate.
Just got a message from Fox. He said he's not going to make the show tonight.
Okay.
We're only halfway into it here, so let's see. Anyways, so that. What I was saying is that blog is definitely worth checking. That Open Security Research, there's a bunch of other good posts on there. I've been following it with some of my lab work here lately. And I thought this reversing tutorial was a fairly good one and thought it was worth posting. So we're going to go ahead and do some show break music. I'm going to go back to some classics here for us, stuff we've played before. And I'm going to play a little bit of Neville DeMar. Looking for a very specific track. Here it is. And so I'm going to mute the call and hit play. Thank you. All right. I get the call back here. Haven't done the midway break music in a while, but we actually blew right through the first half of the show stuff. Actually, within the first half of the show, the last couple of shows, we'd been, you know, we'd have the stories in Pure Deck, and we'd end up 45 minutes in before we got through all of it. Mm-hmm. So, actually, had our mid-show break for a change, which that music we've had on the show before. I'm kind of hitting the stuff we've done before here, but you know.
Yeah.
So anyways, before we hit the topic here, I just thought, was thinking about it. It's kind of amazing we got this far. I started the idea of pure decking on a lark. I mean, I was just thinking, we'll do this for now. We'll do it, you know, for something. And we're still going.
I think that's great.
So
It's a great show. It's nice to just kind of get in and bullshit around about this sort of stuff.
Well, I enjoy it. So, which I guess is what the reason we keep going here.
Yeah.
So, and just as a side note, some of our conversation happening in the back channel there, Analog, I'm sure you can find a hobo to kill to get some new eyes. So,
possibly.
But
I got some people I don't like live next to me.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
Hey, they've got a house. You know, they live next to you. They've got a house, so therefore you've already got a pre-made space to hide the bodies.
Not only that, we could actually turn that into a 24/7 LAN party.
Oh, yes. Speaking of the 24/7 LAN party, I should get the link. I'm going to try to find that real quick while I bullshit about it. He finally posted his net booting solution. He is not doing the really cool thing I thought he was doing. He's doing all iSCSI LVM images, which is really too bad. Let me find that. Anybody else see the story on the LAN party house?
No.
Okay. Google engineer built a house. Heavy. What the fuck, man?
What?
Heavy. Dude. We're hearing stuff in the background. We're hearing you breathing.
Oh, hold on.
Good God, man. Andy wonders why we don't have
any. I've heard that at all. You shouldn't actually have heard any of that at all. All right. So, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Here we go. I found the link I was looking for, and I'll add it to the show notes here shortly, and I'll throw it at you guys real quick so you can look at it. It's a Kenton's Weekend Projects. He's a Google engineer. He built a house around the idea of having LAN parties. And if you notice the names he put on all of his machines, he named them after Mega Man characters, which, you know, I think is awesome. But he built his entire house around the concept of having LAN parties. And
it's
scroll down and look at the pictures, some of the pictures of the house.
It's actually very compact. I could see somebody doing it in a regular size house on a lesser scale, like maybe like four stations, pretty easily the way you've done it, because
out of the wall.
Yeah.
Which I love the setup. And he had posted about this big net boot setup he was doing involving iSCSI and Windows 7, and talking about doing copy on write to the local hard drive. Well, that's not what he's doing. He's doing copy on write to the server. Using LVM snapshots, which is cool, don't get me wrong, but it's a lot more standard than I thought he was doing. So he's just taking a Windows 7 LVM snapshot from a iSCSI share and duplicating it out for each of his machines, which is cool. Don't get me wrong, don't misunderstand. The setup he's doing is nice. It's just not... there's mildly less badassery there than I thought was happening, but he built the house. So we're sort of like, you know, it's sort of like, yeah, you didn't, you painted the spaceship the wrong color, but you built a spaceship. So, you know what I mean?
And whenever he's not having the LAN party, God, how many movies can he watch?
Oh my Lord.
All of
them. At the same time.
So let me just, there we go. We'll just add that link. I'm adding that link to the show notes right now. Oops, I have too many tabs. Fuck. So, anyways, I don't know if anybody else had seen that or not, but just that setup was awesome. So we'll just add that in Digital Dojo. There we go. That link is now added to the show notes. Yay.
All right.
So, at least he got a chick to display the actual pictures for him.
That's true. Oh, yeah. Showing the fold-out desk.
I mean, you know, not the greatest in the world, but at least it was female.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So, but go ahead and move right along here. So, just for fun on our topics here, I thought we could talk about technology that either, you know, concept-wise or actually in existence, specifically made to piss people off. Now, this comes from a dinner conversation I was having with some friends of mine yesterday, and I don't exactly remember the details of how we got on the subject, but we were talking about pissing off environmentalists, and which, you know, this is actually not that strange of a topic for me, but I suggested that we should make a gasoline-powered MacBook Pro.
That's I like it.
The least green computer there is, and make it out of a MacBook just to insult, you know, just to rub some salt in the wound.
Oh, but the funny thing about it is that that would actually sell.
Not only would it sell, it would actually be useful. I mean, think of disaster scenarios where, you know, you're running from the zombies, but you've really got to update your Facebook. So
it's actually not that bad. I mean, if you got one of the little Honda generators, 1 gallon of gasoline would run it for 24 hours. Those things are pretty damn nice and portable, too. You could case mod it. It wouldn't actually be much bigger than a regular case if you did it right.
That's true. I mean, you know, the concept I was thinking of was basically like a weed whacker engine and a car alternator. But, you know, just run that straight to your power supply.
I still think that you can get away with doing something a lot smaller than that.
Oh, yeah. No, easily.
Just for a laptop. Like, this isn't a high power requirement or anything.
Well, especially if you don't step it up to 120 AC to run it through the power brick, if you just put out the correct voltage DC and wind your own generator to however you want to spin it.
So if we're going to do this right, we're going to get rid of the gas powered motor and we're going to get a coal fired steam driven
boiler.
Yeah.
Micro boiler. You put one little lump of coal in there and it runs your laptop for 20 minutes. It's like you're sitting there in the middle of a heated UT3 match and the computer shuts down due to overheating or it's out of steam.
we were talking about that before. And we figure a guy could set up like a butane lighter or something like that. Or not a lighter, but a butane heat source. And the guy could probably get away with running one of those little steam engines.
If you have a steam-powered laptop with the little whistle on top, can you imagine that in a Starbucks?
That'd be awesome.
So, but, you know, after thinking about that, I got looking at some other technology that specifically is designed to piss people off. And of course, there's malware, which is just software designed to piss people off. But there's also the Segway, which that just from what I understand, the Segway just inspires physical violence.
Oh yeah.
So I was thinking I'd throw it out there. What else do you guys think of technology? Does this specifically to piss people off?
TV be gone.
Winning.
See, I'd say that almost has the reverse of pissing people off. I guess it depends on who. But most of the time, everybody's better off for that TV being turned on.
Yes, but it does mean they get pissed. Because if you walk by the local sports bar and you just turn all their TVs off, usually they're behind some kind of a plexiglass protector, so they've actually got to go through with the screwdrivers if they can't find the remote, you know.
And you got your part-time employees sitting there going, I don't know, it's never been turned off before.
Exactly.
What were you going to say, Analog?
No, I'm good right now.
Right. Oh, okay. I need the cricket sound. I was going to go light on the sound effects for the last show of the year, but
there's always the, as far as other annoying technology, there's always the obvious techs, like, you know, the greeting cards that make noise. I say that's going to be in my top 10 list right there.
Those aren't annoying, though.
Those have a use.
Those are great to be used for annoying other people, but
yes.
I find them great personally. I love it when I get them for my birthdays and Christmas because it just gives me that much more ammo to use on other people.
Well, I like taking them apart and getting a little circuit out of them because it's a switch, right? So you can wire that up to other things. For example, a button in somebody's keyboard.
Yep.
So you could make prank keyboards that play the hamster dance whenever they hit shift or something.
Cool idea.
That'd be awesome. So I would have a complaint. I think we could take this one off the list. Maybe Ethernet enabled microwaves. Because I have a multi-story home, and it'd be convenient. And somebody I was in Google Hangout with, which is what you guys were hearing for noise, also said, "Yeah, you know, it'd be nice to get a notice saying, hey, your dinner's done. Why don't you get your fat ass up off the chair and go and get it?"
Well, you know, I mean, you could program the microwave, but generally anything you're putting in the microwave has to be frozen. So you don't want to leave it in the microwave unless you're ready to cook it. So it's just one of those things where if you're not in front of it, the device is kind of useless.
That statement's not valid, but anyway.
Okay, correct me.
Well, what about soups? What about popcorn? What about, you know, there's a ton of food that does not have to be frozen to be in a microwave.
Okay, fair ball.
I can have a well-balanced diet off of things. Okay, let me rephrase that. Maybe not a well-balanced diet, but I could survive for a while off of food that could be microwaved.
Wait. Let's get the bar even lower here. You could survive in a manner that would piss off your physician.
Oh, absolutely.
And leave you running to the bathroom from time to time.
So yes, I guess then the Ethernet enabled microwave would probably be pissing other people off.
Yeah, it'd be pissing off your doctor if nothing. or the people you call on the phone. It's like, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm at work. I'm trying to program the microwave. Can you put that chicken in the microwave, please? I want to hit the button. Let's see. I didn't have. Yeah, you know, it was just kind of a fun topic to throw out. So I don't know. What else does anybody have as far as technology just to piss people off? Devices, mods,
anything made by Apple. Right? I find that mostly on the owners.
What's the line? PCs and Windows and Linux is used to run the Large Hadron Collider and send people into space. Macs are used by self-absorbed children to update their blogs.
Yeah, exactly. I'd say mini bikes are pretty much designed to annoy everybody in the neighborhood. And we know this from, you know, the last two Galaxy or I Have Nothing shows, because I use the kid driving around his neighborhood.
Oh yeah, and get that good bumblebee. Hey, there you go with your gasoline powered laptop. You straight pipe it, and you use a really small pipe, so you get that, you know, high pitched. You know, in the middle of Starbucks, you've got this high pitched whine of your motor running your laptop.
I love it.
So, you know, because it's the least green thing you could possibly have would be a gas-powered laptop.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I don't really have much else for the, we went through the news a little bit quicker than I was planning to tonight. So that's really all I got. What do you guys got, if anything?
Oh. I have to come up with content?
Yeah, dude, actually, I was going to say the new Batman movie looks pretty fucking awesome.
The new Batman movie. Last show of the year, what were we talking about? The Batman trailer.
whatever. That's it for me.
We do have one. Okay. Analog, you had just informed us on Dungeon Defenders to check the presents. What all did you get?
I got 20 million mana.
Same here.
I'll have to log in there.
Make sure nobody's in the tavern with you.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah. Steal all your mana.
I will happily come into the tavern with you.
Well, you know what? That is a beautiful idea, and I'm just going to sit here entering people's tavern games just to see.
See if they walk over and inadvertently open them. That is an awesome idea.
Trolling 101.
So I've actually got some people that would like to talk to you guys. So hold on a second. Go ahead, guys. You can start, anybody wanted to have a chat or something.
What are we doing here, Heavy? What do you mean people who want to talk to us?
No, I got it covered. Just talk.
Wait, no. What is this here? What are you doing? Bringing a crowd onto the show?
Yeah, I know. It's a whole bunch of other people that are, you know, hanging out.
Is this anybody we actually know?
Know what?
No. Okay. God. Sorry. This will end well. Oh, well. How much time do I have left to fill on the recording before we get to cut off Heavy?
You're going to...
What the hell was that?
Yeah, it's on.
It's on?
Yep. He says, what's going on? We're going to call Bubba Hotep and Jim Bob, and you guys can pick who's who, and that way we can have, you know, some
anonymity. Sounds like they might be relatives of mine.
Yeah.
Okay, Heavy, what did you get into, and why are you not sharing?
yes, this you do need to answer the question. What exactly are you smoking? If somebody was saying something, I couldn't hear them.
You guys were talking about... Now, the Segway has to be fun because of jousting.
You're talking about Segway jousting?
Segway jousting.
Okay, that actually sounds like an awesome idea. Is there like example YouTube videos of this? I've never heard of Segway jousting before.
Let's see here. Let's pull up the all-amazing...
And who am I speaking with, by the way? I don't recognize your voice.
Oh, my name's Glenn.
Hi, Glenn.
Hi. How you doing?
Horrible feedback.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, sorry. We're going to do this better later on. I'm going to figure a way to pipe this through, and we can actually do this kind of thing from a hangout, because I could get a few people for the show to do some live commentary.
Yeah, but, well, let me apologize, Glenn. I didn't know that Heavy was going to pipe his Google Hangout into our radio show here. Segway jousting.
Exactly.
I like this idea.
I think we could get Madman to do this.
Oh, I know we could get Madman to do this. The question is, can we get him to use actual, you know, spears as opposed to, I don't know, a pool noodle?
We don't want to kill him because we will probably need several takes to make it work.
Yes, we are going to have to do we're going to want to get multiple camera angles. We're going to want to get I don't know, what else can we use besides actual spears? Would be good to joust with.
I have a link to coming in of actual jousting.
You found the YouTube video of Segway jousting?
No, Glenn found it and he gave it to me in the chat, so we're going to, you know, give that to you so you guys can fire that up when you're ready, but Segway jousting. It sounds pretty cool.
Well, I'm going to just copy the link and throw it straight in the show notes here because, I can't watch it at the moment.
No.
I could watch it and the audio would come through, but you guys wouldn't hear it. So, anyways, though, I think it's the last show of the year. That's all I've really got, besides Heavy popping in his Google Hangouts there, so... I think Segway jousting is something we need to end the show on this year. I like that concept. So
we're going to end out on Segway jousting.
I think cool. We're going to end out on Segway jousting there. And,
so fire up the stream, guys.
Yeah, fire off the stream. I think we're going to go ahead and close it right there. It's a little early, but shit, we blew through everything we had. Shutter wad. I don't know. So anyways, quick promos. Always listen to the stream. Sard has been doing an absolute metric ton of programming work and getting it going. And I've gone in and was doing some digging because we had a problem with the broadcast box and I didn't have a lot of choice. Sard has been busy. He took the just mass of music I threw on the box and has actually organized it. He's been making categories. He's actually been setting up clock wheel rotations. Amazing amount of work this guy's been doing when I wasn't looking. Of course, always, I have nothing every Saturday, Sunday, and always check out the Galaxy 15 radio site in the Twitter handle, which I've been forgetting to use to advertise the show, but we have a Twitter handle, so you can watch for it. It automagically posts on the Twitter handle whenever we put new content on the site, so I'll always follow that. Anybody else have shit they wish to pimp?
Well, we have the Friday night show that's not actually on Friday night that we should probably pimp too.
I think that show got put on hiatus. I know RU was talking about bringing it back next year.
Yeah.
But I believe that show is currently on hiatus. So
crap.
I don't know. Does anybody else have shit they wish to pimp before we close it out?
Nope. We're good.
All right. It's only appropriate to close the show with the original Pure Decking song. So here we go. We'll be right back. Wait. We just got a last minute addition. Syntax is back. Oh, I've got the call muted. Fuck. I was sitting there playing the closing music, and it's like Syntax is like, wait.
Okay. So, yeah. Did you use my story already?
No, we didn't.
Okay. Are we still on the air?
We're still on the air. We even still have two listeners.
Excellent. Fucking sweet. Okay. Well, I'm going to tell my story because I know what the topic was. And it's not really tech that was invented to piss people off. It was just tech used to piss people off. Yeah. And by people, I mean the entire city of San Antonio, Texas. So downtown, they were doing, you know, this is back 2001, early 2001. They were doing this whole thing where they were making the entire downtown area basically one big Wi-Fi hotspot. Okay. Well, I was up there and I was helping with the infrastructure with that. Well, one of our links between two buildings, was obstructed by trees. They wouldn't let us go higher on the building, which would have been cool because I was having to rappel off the buildings. Totally nice. Fun. Yeah, and you would be surprised the looks people give you when you're rappelling Aussie style, you know, face down off the building, and they're glass side, and you slip and you slam into the building upside down. On the 30th floor, people nice. Tend to start freaking out. And a lot of these big buildings have apartments and stuff way up high, and you see some very interesting shit.
You needed a sign that said, call the police.
Yeah, no kidding. Or just one that said, help, as I slowly slid down the side of the
bomb
building.
On roof.
Or run. That's right. But yeah, you know, people on the 30th floor think people aren't going to look in their floor-to-ceiling windows unless you're rappelling down the side of the building. So they keep all kinds of fucking interesting shit just laying around.
Oh, yeah.
But going back to my original story. So the city told us we had to put this on, like, the third floor. And I was like, okay, whatever, this little repeater. Well, we had to do a sight link. You know, it's a... line of sight.
Yeah.
80211 across this park from one building to another. Well, there was one problem. We didn't really have line of sight because of the big ass fucking trees. So, San Antonio, being a military town, I got my hands on a 10 watt 80211 amplifier. Just to let everyone know, your
those
standard,
are illegal, by the way.
Yeah, anything over 500 milliwatts is illegal.
Yeah,
unless you're military or have an FCC license. Like I said, I acquired one. And 10 watts is the highest is the highest they make. Your standard 80211 router puts out like 100 milliwatts.
Yeah, so we're getting one that claims it does 1,000 milliwatts is like a big deal.
Yeah, yeah, and that's 1 watt. So, you know, and, you know, it was all coax. So I had to, you know, make the ends, make the cable, the whole nine. And I plugged in this 10 watt amplifier. And sure enough, I could receive, or I could send. I couldn't receive because the one on the other side, not so much. So I got a 5 watt from the same person because they only, for some reason, people only keep like one 10 watt, one 5 watt, and one 3 watt in stock. I don't know why. To me, that's stupid. I want two 10 watts. So I got a 5 watt, put it on the other side. You know, pointed them both. They're shooting through about five old growth trees. These trees are fucking stupid old. I guess they've been in this park in downtown San Antonio forever.
Yeah.
Well, I ended up burning a hole straight through the middle of these trees. And if you stood behind the antenna, you could literally look straight through the trees. Now, the fun thing was, is if you're down on the bottom, you couldn't tell that there was a hole through these trees. But at a certain angle, perfect round hole through these trees, about 2.5 to 3 foot in diameter, all the way through. Once all the leaves turned brown, I ended up backing them down to a 3-watt and a 5-watt, which just ended up burning the rest of the branches, which fell off and gave me clean line of sight. So then I didn't have to run an amp anymore until the next summer when they started to grow back up through this hole. So, and I would imagine still to this day, there's probably a 1-watt amp just to keep things at bay.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Because remember, kids, 802.11 is 2.4 gigahertz, and that's the same wavelength as your microwave.
Yep.
We're pruning trees with Wi-Fi signal. I love it.
There's a reason why the military calls it burn through on their ships when they crank up the output of their radars. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, isn't that what they make the crowd control pain wave machines out of?
Uh huh.
People have died before too on remember reading about a security guard who had to patrol a roof and he ended up sitting on one of these dishes because it was a little bit warm, and then he fell asleep. And he woke up dead.
He woke up dead. I think the actual term of that is not waking up.
At the TV stations, because I've worked at one, they have microwave burst antennas. They stay basically dormant until data's broadcast across them, and they're really powerful. I mean, they can go 100 miles in a single link. So the power is huge, but the bandwidth is massive because they're broadcasting, like they'll do an entire TV show in like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I think I need one of those on my house.
I know, right? But yeah, we used to have pigeons die on the roof all the fucking time.
Nice.
Because it goes from basically zero to full power, full strength. You know, almost instantly. And yeah, if there's a pigeon sitting on the element, well,
dinner.
Yeah. It's like I was screaming at the TV when I saw the Mythbusters, like, can you cook a turkey on a radar? It's like, not on that one.
Not on that.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, as soon as I saw that, I was like, no. No, you need a burst antenna. You need something with a lot of amperage, something to go a really long ways. That little stupid private civilian weather radar is putting out less radiation than your microwave, and it only goes a mile. You know, no, you want something that scans for hundreds of miles, and yeah, you can cook shit very quickly.
All right. Since we've already wrapped up the show once, we're just going to close it right out there.
Okay. Well, yeah, I tried to make it back just as quick as possible.
No, it's cool. I'm here to-